Hello, Park Street. Welcome back. Today is day 14 of our journey through the Book of John in Lent, and I'm pleased to be joined again by Steve and Kelly Knowlton.
Hello.
Thanks for coming back.
Hey.
Today's passage is John 6, verses 22 through 59. So we got quite a bit to read, so buckle up. Kelly, you willing to read again? Or
I am happy to do that.
All right.
I'm reading from the NIV today. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling amongst yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me down draws them. And I will raise them up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum.
So,
ooh, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
That required a lot of focus.
That was well read. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I guess where to start?
Where to start?
Just the beginning where, you know, this passage comes after, two passages where yesterday where we talked about Jesus feeding the 5,000, and,
right,
then walk,
so like,
and then walking on the water.
Like 14 verses earlier than this.
Yes.
Right.
And then he kind of like sneaks away, right? Like the disciples leave, Jesus walks on the water, he goes away. And it says, when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got in the boats and went across. It's like, they didn't take the hint, you know? Like,
no.
He was not real interested, and he was, you know, kind of interested in peacing out. And they're just, you know, tracking him down. And, you know, the first thing he says to him is like, look, all you want is, you know, for me to feed your stomachs with more bread, right? Like, all you care about is my, you know, the what I can do for you.
Right.
Didn't they do this in, like, I mean, it wasn't, didn't they do this, you know, earlier in the Bible, like, you know, they kept filling their pockets with bread. Wasn't that a thing?
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's really good. That's super insightful. Yeah, the Israelites, when
they can't get enough of that bread, man.
He talks about the man coming down, and he said, only enough for today.
Yeah, and they're like,
and they kept stuff in the pockets.
I brought some extra pockets.
Yeah.
Fill up.
And that's kind of, it's the very same behavior.
And here's the thing, too. Like, Jesus is just, like, giving them bread. They're in the desert. Like, Jesus is just giving them bread in the desert. And they're like, we would like to have a sign that you are as good as Moses was, who gave us bread in the desert. Like, it would have taken Jesus a remarkable amount of self-control to not just be like, you people are so dense and ridiculous.
Yeah. I picture this like a, it's like he's talking to them, and then there's like some heckler in the crowd that this is just like Jesus and the hecklers, and he'll like say some impactful thing, and then some guy will be like, yeah, but what about, and then he rolls his eyes and then like says it again. And
well, it's interesting too, they identify themselves so willingly with the Jews in the story about, you know, who are, you know, the people that Moses is constantly like, God, these people are like, can't deal with them anymore. Like, I'm really done. Mm-hmm. Like, do something. Like, can I just send you my resignation letter, like, now? And they're like, yeah, these were our ancestors. They did this. You know, it's like, but they don't really realize, or they, I don't know, it seems like they don't realize they're identifying themselves with these just obstinate, you know, like, biased, like, closed-minded people that won't accept any, you know, new evidence or experience, you know. It's like, it is kind of interesting. Yeah.
Well, I think in both cases, they're looking for a leader and a provider, and I think it's human nature to, you know, whether it's, I mean, it's not good. I was going to say whether it's good, it's not good, but to, you know, hoard and fill up your pockets and make sure you're covered, and you know, that's what they were doing when they were filling their manna coffers way back when, and here too, it feels like they're you know, digging, trying to make sure that they're covered, and I'm guilty of that too. So
I really appreciate in this passage the way that Jesus kind of like flips the script on all of that, because he does several points throughout this passage kind of compare himself to like being above Moses and, you know, the people referring back to themselves as the people wandering in the desert. But that, you know, Jesus or God told Moses, you know, when we're there in the desert, like only enough for today. And what does Jesus do when he feeds the 5,000? He has these 12 baskets of leftovers that Jesus is already saying, like, you see what he did there? Like, I'm going to do you one better. Like, I'm not just going to provide for you, but, like, I'm going to, like, overflow with what I provide. But then, of course,
he does that.
But then he flips it a second way and is like, okay, look, you want from me only what's going to benefit you. And, like, my father can provide you sustenance, like, for today, for the here and now. But, like, I have something to offer you that is better than that. That it's not just, like, something that's going to satisfy your physical body and your daily needs, but is actually going to, like, be eternally, like, provide you with eternal sustenance. And, like, I feel like we listen to that with contemporary ears, and we're like, yeah. Like, yeah, Jesus is the bread of life, because we have, like, the whole picture of biblical history. But I'm sure that Jesus comparing himself to bread in this particular case, that people were like, what is that about? But also that he's comparing himself to Moses and, like, saying that he's better than that. That, like, that's provocative. Like, Jesus was kind of, like, prodding them and seeing who's going to come along with it and who's going to be like, no, that's heresy. Like, you don't say that. But Jesus is definitely, like, wants to make sure that they know that he's not just filling their stomachs and not just, you know, filling their pockets with leftovers to take home, but that he has something, like, better and more than what they're able to understand at that point.
Yeah. And I guess, so it's said, I mean, it is easy to kind of see all the characters in these stories. It's easy to just see kind of all the absurdity going around, but these people definitely don't have the market cornered on, you know, following Jesus with expectations of what it's going to get them. I mean,
preach.
that's not just a one or two people who follow Jesus problem. I mean, at this point, there are crowds.
Do tell. Do tell.
There are crowds, right? There's lots of crowds. The popularity, the movement is growing. And if you listen tomorrow, you're going to find out the movement will shrink. But, like, you know, it's like that is a very common problem, I guess, you know, in terms of following Jesus, like, you know, expecting him to operate on your terms and with your, you know, take care of these needs that I have, you know. That's, I feel like I can relate.
Well, I think, I mean, it's, this is a good verse to read through and kind of process, you know, how they're, I mean, like, you can't stuff enough bread in them. And this is, I mean, we live in a world nowadays where, I mean, I love me a buffet. And who doesn't love to just watch, like, 10,000 Netflix shows in a row? And so, like, it's, we enjoy consuming and consuming and consuming. And I think, you know, during the season of Lent, it's a chance for us to, you know, realize that, you know, we should probably turn that off. 'Cause, like, you could, Netflix exists, you know, I keep mentioning.
You're doing a really good job demonizing Netflix.
Well, no, they're paying me here to be on this podcast.
Is this, I was going to do at some point, I had
We're
the idea of
away.
Doing ads, like fake funny ads, like.
Yeah.
This episode's brought
sponsor.
To you by Goldberry Roasting Company.
That's right.
Yeah,
you know, but I forgot all about that. But this is, yeah, Netflix is
yeah.
sponsoring.
No, but I mean, like, it, I mean, it exists solely for the reason that, like, we just want to just drink from a fire hose all the time and consume and consume. And I think that, you know, it's when Jesus says that he is enough and sufficient, and that's so counter to how they're viewing things and how we view things just in general in life. So I think it's important to remember in this season.
This is a good passage too, to encourage us to kind of take a step back and think about, like, what are we putting at, like, highest value in our lives? Is it the, like, you know, the temporal, the here and now today, like, you know, there's nothing wrong with, like, enjoying things in life, but, like, is that the thing that we put as highest, as being comfortable today and enjoying ourselves today and having what we need today? Or is just, like, being, like, awash in Jesus's presence, like, is that enough for us? Is that, you know, is that the blue chip? Is that, like, you know, the highest thing? Or are we more concerned about our stomachs and our wallets and whatever
yeah.
it may be? And, like, That's convicting for me. I mean, because I'm all about, like, good food and, you know, watching movies and having a good time. Like,
you can watch, like, 30 B-string movies in a row and it won't fill you up. Like, it won't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm tracking with a lot of what you're saying. I mean, because it does, like, Jesus does, like, even the Lord's Prayer says, give us this day our daily bread, right? Like, there's
mm-hmm.
a physical aspect that God, we trust God to take care of our needs, which is what
yeah.
he did. He took care of physical needs. And you're talking about consuming, and it is funny that, like, 10 verses down, Jesus is like, yeah, you still need to consume, but there are, you know, anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, right? So what's he talking about? He's talking about, you know, at the Last Supper, he's gonna lift up bread, he's gonna lift up a cup and say, this bread is my flesh, this wine is my blood, this is the new covenant. It's like, for us to consume something, it's not, we don't follow Jesus just to consume the free bread, the material needs that he gives out, although he will do so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, he wants us primarily to eat the fact that he, whatever this means, that he died, you know, that he was sacrificial, that he gave of himself. There's, like, the spiritual principle of, like, accepting Christ's free gift of grace is what really, you know, he says, you know, whoever does this will have eternal life, right? It's like, that's the primary consuming thing he wants us to do.
What?
And these people can't understand it because they're like, what about this? What about the miracles? You know, what do we have to do? And he's like, he comes out and says, like, verse 29, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. Like, no. That's, no, I can't do that. That's impossible.
And, like, it doesn't seem entirely ludicrous for us now, but, like, for a people that are coming out of this, like, works system, like, where sacrifices are offered and all these rituals are, like, just steeped in their daily religious practices, like, that would feel absolutely ludicrous to be like, we just have to believe, like, that's the only thing that you're asking us to do? Like, what about this? What about this? What about all these other things, the trappings of religiosity that have been, like, part of who we are as a people? Like, that, again, like, Jesus is being very, like, provocative there in, like, getting people to question what is normal and what do they value?
Well, it's insulting, too, to tell people to do nothing except believe. Like, all you're really capable of, like, all that you can really bring me is believing that, emptying yourself and believing in me.
Yeah.
Like, that is not necessarily, like, in a sense, to some people, that might sound great. Like, it might sound easy or cheap. But, you know, then when you kind of go down to the end of the passage and he's talking about, you know, I'm going to die. This is going to cost me a lot. It's going to be painful. There's going to be suffering. It's going to be awful. You know, you can't really just believe, like, oh, yeah, okay, I believe that and move on with your life.
Right.
At the same time, it's like, if really what Christianity is about is believing in Christ and what he did, then all of a sudden I have really, it really diminishes my value prop that I bring to
mm-hmm.
God. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah.
But God, I got all these things I can do, you know, like, we can go into partnership here.
Yeah.
You know, I might be able to offer you something. It's like,
God's like,
no,
that's cute. But...
Right. Like, that's not at all what we're talking
right.
about. And I feel like for religious people, like you said, who are used to doing things and using, and I mean, all religion's really based on that to some degree, is what, here are the things you do to express your religion. And Christianity is just, it's just a total, it's just not that.
No.
And it's hard to believe.
It's,
you know?
Not
it's,
that.
It's hard to process it. It's hard to make sense out of it.
Sitting over here trying to think about, like, and I don't know the answer to this, you know, where does manna rate on the bread scale? Is manna
like on the scale of one to brat bread? Like, where is it?
Yeah,
is it,
yeah. Is it like is manna like? I mean, is it like getting those saltines in with your soup, or is it like what level of?
I always envision manna as like, you know, like puff corn.
Yeah, I'm not sure it was great.
It's like whole,
yeah.
Like the holeless popcorn.
Yeah. So I mean, this is.
I don't know if it was. Who knows?
I mean, this is like.
It's great for a day before.
I mean, Jesus,
like,
before
it rotted.
Like, you guys are getting all giddy about this, like.
I mean, it was like the perfect food that people needed,
yeah.
Like in the circumstance.
Yeah, but then he's like, yeah, but like, there's that bread, and then I'm the bread of life. I mean, it's like if like steaks fell from heaven, he'd be like, no, but I'm this kind of steak. So I'm just trying to process through the level.
Like sirloin versus.
I don't know,
like,
if Jesus is making a bread analogy here. Probably not. This is not accurate. But
well, what's the type of bread that they would have made for Passover? Right, it was unleavened bread.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't, yeah, it wasn't, I mean, I don't think it was functional. It was, this
yeah.
is, I don't think this, like, when Jesus says, like, right, like, I think they're both, so the wine, like, the blood, right, wine is not necessarily functional, it's also, you know, like, there's, what's the word I'm looking for? the only word I can think of is like it's artistic, it's beautiful, it's complex. It's not just water. Like Jesus,
like it's
he says, "I'm the water of like I'm water. Like if you're thirsty, come to me and drink," which is like the functional part of what you need to survive. But there's also this like luxurious or like
yeah, there's nuance
above and beyond,
to it
right?
It's partially to be enjoyed and not just to nourish your body and replenish your fluids.
Right. But the bread to me is more like when you have both of those together, bread and wine or flesh and blood, it's like the bread is the sustaining thing you need every day, the functional, you know, normal operating, right? And the wine is the...
It's lavish.
Is more of the, right, the luxurious, the intoxicating, the... over the top a little bit, right?
No, they probably made wine. I think it's accurate. They made wine to like preserve.
Well, that's true too. I'm sure wine was functional as well. Yeah. I guess what we're saying is we don't really know all the details about how this works.
There's just like a whole bunch of food. And
no, and I'm not even going to get into all the complexity of like when Jesus saying, you know, his body and his blood. Like, I'm not a biblical scholar to know the roots of all these things. Obviously, like, this passage here is at the root of, like, a centuries-old debate about, like, what the Eucharist means and how we perceive it and how we enter into it. And John is also the only one of the Gospels that Jesus is talking about himself as the bread of life. Like, in this context where he's in front of a crowd, but John doesn't include Jesus saying, "This is my body, take and eat, here's my blood, take and drink," in the Last Supper, the way that he does in the other Gospels. So it's interesting that we see this different account here of Jesus referring to himself in this way in front of like a large group of people, as opposed to like with his most trusted, close friends. I'm not really sure what to make of that, but I just think that it's interesting. He's not just saying it to people that's like, "I know you guys are going to understand me," but he's saying it to like this large group of people, almost like in a like pull the pin, walk away, and like hope that they figure it out sort of scenario. I just think that that's really interesting.
No, you're right. It's not. When he speaks to people, most people are initially confused.
Yeah,
or at least they don't get what's going on, and then
Jesus makes it his business to like.
Yeah, he's not trying to just lay out four easy steps and then walk. Like, he wants to give you a little bit, like, give you a taste.
Yeah.
And, right, like, yeah, I guess breadcrumbs or whatever. But, like, give you a little bit and get you, you know, to think about it. He wants you to, you know, it's not just this isn't purely transmitting of information. He has other aims, I guess. I definitely see what you're saying with that.
I think when I look at this passage as a whole and I zoom out and I mean, what the people are doing, and I think about, you know, go in Lent, I mean, just life in general, like, there are a lot of things that we, I mean, Kelly and I are busy folks, and a lot of people we know are busy folks, and our lives are very full.
We also refer to ourselves as folks on the regular.
Folks. And, you know, it just challenges to say, like, of all the things that we're doing, like, what things are the sacred things, and what things are the things that we're just doing to fill time. Like, we're busy, and I think it's a good practice to, you know, step back, look at all these things and say, like, am I just eating off the buffet right now, or am I, you know, is this a full meal? And I mean, I think here the people are coming to Jesus looking for bread, and he's challenging them to, you know, view him as the full meal, and the thing that's sacred in all of this. And you know, it's really easy to just get caught in filling time and feeling busy and feeling important, feeling like you're doing the things you need to do, but sometimes you're just making yourself busy.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree.
I also want to add to that, if you're interested in more on that particular topic, Shauna Nyquist has an awesome book called Present Over Perfect. Can we put that in the show notes, Ryan? Can we put that in the show notes?
I was going to say,
I don't know what the show notes are going to look like after we do all this. But I was going to say, if anybody knows more about this stuff than we do, then to hit us in the comments.
Yeah,
but
please,
I don't know if there's going to be
comments.
Either.
I really hope so. I feel like we're like building up this expectation. But that whole book is just addresses that idea of us wanting just like stuff so much in when it's really so much better to just distill down to like what is the essential that is really like beautiful and meaningful and at the heart of who we are and who God's created us to be, as opposed to just like consuming. So I know that's a sidebar, but it's really good.
It in the notes section.
Yeah,
that's good.
Comments. We'll just open a Word document and tell Jason that it's the comment section and just let him like put all his heckling in there.
Yeah, okay. You made fun of Jason twice. He might be the only person listening, so hopefully he's not too upset.
Fight us, Jason.
Yeah. Fight us virtually. In the future. Yeah.
There's so much in this passage, man. Like,
well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot you just miss that you can't, you know.
Yeah, we could actually read through this again and get a whole other wealth of things out of it.
Right. If we did this on a different day and time, we would have a totally different conversation probably about it.
Should we tell the people that it is currently 11:14 p.m.?
You can tell them whatever you want.
Yes,
so,
it's 11:14 p.m.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ryan. This has been a good discussion.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys entering into the ambiguity and mystery of whatever this stuff means. So
yeah, and it's good to circle back to some of these passages that I know I've read dozens of times in my life, but have maybe not stopped to contemplate, like, what is actually happening here. So
yeah,
thanks for giving us an opportunity to do that.
All right, guys. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.